Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Quite the news as we open our eyes this morning and read the headlines. The Pentagon says it launched an airstrike that killed a major Iranian military official. The death of
Qasem
Soleimani, one of Iran's most revered military generals, is certain to heighten tensions between the U.S. and Iran. That from the Washington Post. Iran has vowed harsh retaliation for the airstrike near Baghdad's airport. Democrats say that Nancy Pelosi in particular, that Congress was not consulted on this move, and many are bracing for retaliation.
Well, the Iranians say, David, that they are going to retaliate. Let's take a look at the history here. From the moment Trump has been elected, he started picking on Iran. Now, Iran are not good guys. That we know. And Soleimani was the architect of some of their real mischief. Nevertheless, he was regarded as the second most important person after the Ayatollah in Iran. And so there is going to be huge reaction to this. Americans are being pulled out of Iraq, of course. The Iranians are now in a pretty good position where power is concerned in Iraq. And this president, who from the very beginning has been building up U.S. anger at Iran, has now done this thing and apparently has done it without consulting Congress. They were very careful, the Republicans, to show pictures of the president with McCarthy, but he's not the leader of the House. He's a Republican. So I'm not sure we are anywhere near understanding what is really happening here. But clearly, the president is going for broke. He has said the Iranians better not start up because it will be a short war. He has also said when Obama was running for president, he said he's going to start a war with Iran in order to win. Here's a guy who looks like he's doing exactly that right now. The man says he doesn't want a war in the Middle East, and yet he's provoking one. So the Democrats are pretty well united that they should have been informed, number one, and that this is a dangerous incursion. He is, of course, being very macho, saying we're bigger, we're better, we can take care of this. But of course, taking care of this is going to mean a war.
Well, obviously, one of the backlashes here is the revenge. How will they fight back? And of course, the speculation is that we've seen it before. Israel's a target.
That's right. You throw a bomb, if you're the Iranians, at the United States, it's one thing. One step removed will be the Israelis who are right there in the Middle East. And the Israelis are taking this extremely seriously. And Netanyahu and the president are big allies. And the northern border and some of these other places are really very vulnerable. So one of the speculations is that the Israelis will be the ones who are going to be taking it in the neck.
Does this just add more emphasis to using diplomacy in international relations?
Well, basically, the Trump position has been the diplomacy of the Obama administration and others was feckless, that it didn't mean anything, that it wasn't any good. And so this is a guy who has alienated all of our traditional partners, including pulling out of an agreement with Iran. So he has made his bed, Trump. He has picked on the Iranians from the very beginning, and he's basically showing a bellicose side, which he said he doesn't want to do. That leaves him, I think, vulnerable. But most of all, he should have told the Congress. That's the kind of government we have in this country, whether they're of the same party or not. And David, we know that when Obama went after Osama bin Laden, a lot of people were told about it.
Ascendant Bernie Sanders targets Biden as Iowa nears. The senator from Vermont tells the Washington Post, Alan, that former Vice President Joe Biden brings, quote, a lot of baggage with his record and ties to the political establishment. Here we go. Electability again.
Think about this. Bernie Sanders, as you say, is ascending. The New York Times thinks he has a shot. It's pretty clear that if you want to win, you got to go after the person who is in the lead right now. Sanders knows that if he's going to win, he has to get over the idea that Biden is the leader, and he goes after Biden. It's not surprising. That's the way it is. It's unfortunate in so many ways because the Democrats, by attacking each other, leave great vulnerabilities in terms of their ability to beat Trump. We know that in the last election, there were certainly supporters of Bernie Sanders who did not show that they were going to be for the Democratic candidate who was not Sanders. If that kind of thing happens again, it's a Trump victory.
Conservatives are asking a judge to fine the Wisconsin Elections Commission in contempt for not immediately purging more than 200,000 voters from the rolls. The judge last month ordered that purge of voters who may have moved and didn't respond within 30 days to notifications sent by the Elections Commission in October. The commission is appealing the ruling and asking that the order be put on hold, but the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty says the commission must purge the voters now or face $12,000 a day in fines.
Hey, David, that's what this is all about. The Republicans and conservatives, if you take a look at the way these battle lines are drawn, want the fewest possible people voting. The general assumption is the more people who vote, the more Democrats will vote because they're the most marginal voters. So you see this, and you see it not only in Wisconsin, but you see it in many other places in which there is an attempt to limit the number of people who are voting one way or the other. And it is not a pretty picture.
Speaking of, and I'm assuming that Judith Ank will be on the panel this morning, as she is most Fridays, Alan, and she'll probably want to talk about this. The backlog of toxic Superfund cleanup grows under President Trump's administration. From the AP, the EPA released figures over the holiday showing that 34 projects to clean up the nation's most polluted sites stalled last year for lack of money. That's nearly three times the number in 2016, the last year of the Obama administration.
Well, you know, there's plenty of money for wars. There's plenty of money for the military. This country is deeply in debt. Now you see this. Are we surprised? We have a president who is basically a climate denier. And now we find that superfunds, in which we have despoiled our lands and should be cleaned up, won't be because there's no money. Pretty disgusting. But apparently this president just doesn't get that.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. We wish you all a wonderful, healthy, safe weekend. Alan, thank you as always.
And thank you as always, David. It's always great to talk to you.